You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio.
TalkZone.com.
It's time for Pageant Talk Radio with Valerie Hayes, the pageant coach. This is the show that will inform and inspire you as you prepare for your next pageant competition while helping you develop life skills that transcend pageantry. Now, here's the host of Pageant Talk Radio, Valerie Hayes.
Hello, and welcome to Pageant Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Hayes, the pageant coach, and we're going to spend the next hour talking about important information to help you be the very best at your next pageant. During today's show, I'll be answering your calls and emails with questions about what's coming up at your next pageant, and we'll also be planning to speak with pageant fashion designer Sherry Hill. If you'd like to join the conversation and ask a question, the phone lines are open. Our phone number is 888-463-6748. That's 888. Go for it. And although I'm very, very excited to be talking to my special guest today, Sherry Hill, she has been delayed due to travel plans and is going to be a few moments late in joining us for today's call. So instead of having the guest first and doing the email questions second, I'm going to go ahead and start with our email questions now. These are the questions that the listeners have emailed me during the last week asking about issues that are coming up at their next pageant. And the first question comes from Michelle. Michelle wants to know, when, if at all, is it appropriate to shake the judge's hand in a panel-style interview? That is a great question, Michelle, and it's a question that comes up a lot. I think that contestants want to make a great impression and stand out and be memorable, but they also want to do it in a way that's respectful to the particular style of the interview. It's important to remember that a panel-style interview is modeled after a press conference interview. And, of course, at a press conference, you'd be wearing your cute little crown and sash, and you'd enter the room at the front of the room and begin to address members of the press. You would not, at a press conference, be shaking the hands of the member of the press. So typically, in a panel-style interview, we do not encourage you to shake hands with your judges. Now, I will let you know that there are some pageants that tell contestants that they do want the contestants to shake the judge's hand. And so it is perfectly okay during orientation, Michelle, to raise your cute little hand and ask your director, in my panel-style interview, should I be shaking the judge's hand or not? Because your director is having an orientation or is having that pre-pageant meeting to let you know helpful information so that you can be your very best at the pageant. So generally speaking, if the director doesn't give any direction, do not shake the judge's hand in your panel-style interview. But if it is okay for you at your orientation, just raise your hand and ask the director, and they will let you know what they have instructed the judge. Sometimes they actually instruct judges to score contestants down if they shake the judge's hands, if the contestant shakes the judge's hands. So you'll want to know if you're going to be get scored down. Well, thanks, Michelle, for your question. And I understand that we have Sherry Hill on the line, who is graciously joining us with a very busy schedule. And let's go ahead and talk about Sherry behind her back for just a minute while she's getting settled in. Sherry is a leading prom and pageant evening wear designer, and her record of designing winning gowns for top contestants across all pageant systems is without question unparalleled in the pageant industry. Her latest stunningly beautiful evening wear collection can be seen at www.sherryhill.com. That's sherryhill.com with two R's. And Sherry, we want to welcome you and thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Sherry, I would just love to know how you got started as a fashion designer and why you focused on pageant evening wear.
Well, I grew up in the retail business. My parents had small retail stores. I always enjoyed it. I would go to the markets from the time I was a child. So I guess I was just kind of indoctrinated into it early. I accidentally stumbled into doing pageant wear along the way. I never focused on that, never planned to. And we sold some dresses from our store to a girl in the Miss Oklahoma pageant. As I sat proudly watching, you know, to see our dress show up, I realized, ooh, what if someone else sold another girl the same dress? So I started thinking about that, and that just kind of stumbled into designing my own pageant gown.
What did your first pageant gown look like? Can you describe it for us?
Oh, dear, let me think. Oh, it was lilac and silver, long sleeve, very glitzy. Way back then, the sleeves were so big, very Imelda style. You know, you almost look like you were carrying another person on each shoulder. The sleeves were very huge. So that I kind of made my mark with that because we could construct that really well. So when I look back at them now, they're hilarious. But we thought they were great at the time.
Construction techniques are really, really important in designing a gown because the gown does have to fit and flatter. What makes the construction techniques required for a pageant gown different than a gown I might buy at my local department store?
Well, the gowns made for your local department store are constructed in such a way that every woman pretty much can wear them. So there's not as much fit, there's not as much tailoring, and of course they're less expensive, so you can't put as much construction into those. So the dresses that are made specifically for pageant or couture wear are much more heavily constructed. Even if it's a lightweight garment, there's a lot of construction that goes into it. A lot more pieces are cut. You know, there's a lot more detail put into the construction, so it fits a little bit closer, fits the body a little better.
And are your designs, Sherry, are they just for pageant wear, or are they for other kinds of events or special occasions?
No, we sell gowns for all events. The pageant gowns, per se, are not necessarily just for pageant. We sell a lot of them to people for social events. For some reason, I tend to do a lot of governor's wives, you know, people like that. And a few celebrities, just women who've had exposure to the gowns and try those on in another gown, maybe we'll come back and choose one of these just because of the quality and the construction.
And let me ask you this, because I know that a lot of people ask you this, so I'm just going to ask it up front. Have you or your daughter ever competed in pageants?
No, I haven't. In fact, I grew up in an age where pageants were not maybe as acceptable almost. I guess maybe just the mainstream public didn't know so much about pageants. So I really didn't have the exposure, and my daughters were athletes. They were very into soccer and softball and things like that. So, and with a mother at that, you know, when they were growing up, I was very involved with the pageant, so it really would not have been very ethical for them to compete anyway. Kind of a no-win situation. If they won, people would assume it's because of their mother. If they didn't win, it would probably be because of their mother. So we just didn't go that route.
Yeah, that can be an ethical issue, can't it?
I think
that's important for everyone involved in the pageant industry, whether you're a boutique owner, a designer, a coach, a director, a contestant, to realize that we do need to maintain the high ethics of the industry in order to be taken seriously and to not contribute to that negative stereotype that some people have about pageants and about title holders. So tell me, Sherry, what is the process and where do you get ideas for designing an off-the-rack gown? In other words, not a custom gown. How does it all start?
Well, almost everywhere. I will have to admit that some of my prom dresses are derivatives of the pageant dresses. You know, I will maybe have success or work with someone for a pageant gown and then maybe make a similar version or something. You know, not exactly the same, but I take some of the ideas from that. And then other than that, ideas from everywhere. You know, one of my early prom dresses that we had some good success with, I noticed the design on an airplane seat when I was on my way to the factory and incorporated that into a bead pattern. So I think you just pick up things wherever you can.
So did you call that the airplane dress?
No.
No, I'm sure not. What is the process for designing a custom gown, and how long does that take?
Well, the time frame varies. In an emergency, we can do one very quickly, but we like to have 6 or 8 weeks. And the process would pretty much start with the individual. Whatever woman I'm designing for, the gown has to work for her. You know, it doesn't do anyone any good to have an amazing gown that would look great on someone else but not on the girl wearing it. So the design always has to start with the girl who will be wearing the dress.
And how do you get a sense for that girl's own personal individual style and kind of meld that with your style and signature as a designer?
I usually start with color. You know, you always encourage a girl to wear a color that's best for her, not best for someone else. As a general rule, I encourage blondes, light-complected girls not to go with white, in spite of the stereotype that you have to wear white to win. And if I have a girl that's debating, I usually say, just imagine yourself on stage. You're there in your white gown. Right beside you, there will be a girl that's a gorgeous brunette in a white gown. Who will win that contest no matter how beautiful your gown is and no matter how beautiful you are? So I think first and foremost is color. And then beyond that, silhouette.
So if white isn't the best choice for blondes, do you think that there is a color that is?
Well, there's not always a best choice for everyone. Some blondes, you know, have enough color, they would look wonderful in white. But you have to realize on stage and on camera, everything changes. So
the lighting does make a difference, doesn't it?
It does. It takes a lot of the color away. So when you're under this very, very intense stage light, quite often you're going to wash out if you're light complected. So you need something that's going to accentuate your best, you know, use your best colors rather than something that is a stereotype or something that's in your head that you think you have to wear.
Right. Well, let's go to a couple email questions from our listeners. Our listeners were very excited about your appearance on the show today, Sherry. Deborah asks, what type or style of gown would you suggest for a contestant that is small-busted?
Almost anything. That's a little bit easier than if you're very large-busted. So think of it as a blessing. You can always add. It's a little bit difficult sometimes to camouflage, but, you know, there's always padding. But you can always, if you don't want to do that, choose styles. She didn't mention the rest of her body type, but if she's long and narrow, then maybe choose bias cut, something that would really accentuate that model type figure. If you have larger hips, then maybe we should do something to give you some width at the top, whether that be a portrait neckline or something just to add a little bit more width across the shoulders or across the bust line to keep the hips from appearing too large. So it's going to depend on the rest of her frame also.
Is there anything that a small-busted contestant should absolutely avoid at all costs?
Deep plunging Vs are usually not the best bet. You know, but, you know, I can say this and say this like it's a rule, but rules are almost made to be broken. You just have to break them judiciously. So even though you might say, oh, you should never do this or you should never do that, sometimes you should.
So, right. I totally understand that. Carly asks, would it be wrong to wear a mermaid style gown? Speaking of breaking the rules, would it be wrong to wear a mermaid style gown in a preteen or junior teen division?
I don't think so, but I do believe that each individual pageant might have their own rules, so you'd almost need to check with the director or the, you know, the people that are running the pageant, because they may have specific guidelines. But personally, no, I think it's a very appropriate look.
Speaking of styles of gown, I know I get asked this a lot, and I'm sure that you do too. Is there a difference between gowns that are a great choice for Miss America and gowns that are a great choice for Miss USA?
I think those lines are blurring. In the past, you would go sexier in the Miss USA pageant. But at this point in time, it seems to be a very similar look for both pageants. Miss USA is known for, you know, maybe statuesque, glamorous women, and can be as sexy as they want to be. I think it's such an individual thing. It's an individual personality. And if you look at the recent winners from year to year, it's a little bit different every year. So I think you have to go with what's right for you as an individual and not think about too much about things like that.
Now, does sexy always mean showing more skin, or is it the line of the gown and the type of fabric? How do we achieve the sexy feel?
Well, I think a lot of that, again, is back to the girl. There's some girls that you can't make not sexy, you know, look sexy in the gown, no matter what kind of gown you put them in.
But right.
As a general rule, a lot of it is going to be the line of the gown and pretty much the cut. Now, you can show a lot of skin, but you can also have a gown that's very sexy, usually very fitted, that's not necessarily showing a lot of skin.
What in your experience attending pageants or helping people with their selection for pageants, what is the biggest mistake you think contestants make when they select an evening gown?
Well, I think it's my job to try to keep them from making mistakes.
And you're doing a great job. You had 4 of the top 5 at Miss USA. Don't think we all didn't know that.
Oh, well, thank you. But I think that, again, back to being yourself. I've had in the last few years, there was a dress a few years ago, a girl named Shandy Finnessy won Miss USA in. And it's kind of become known as the Shandy dress. It's copied over and over in every prom line. But I have so many girls refer back to that dress. And that was a moment in time, a dress that was right for that girl. It might be right for a lot of other girls, but it's not necessarily right for every girl. So it's only been probably this last season that we've been able to get girls away from that. And I think that was a big mistake, trying to wear someone else's dress if it's not the right dress for you.
You know, that's right. The Shandy dress was, without question, probably the most iconic pageant evening gown in pageant history. I can't think of another gown that is so iconic and has been so copied by everyone. Where did you actually get the idea for that dress?
Well, Shandy, I'd never worked with Shandy when she won her state pageant. She came to the Miss Oklahoma USA pageant. She was from Missouri. The girl that won Miss Oklahoma had a gown in all nude, the same sheer illusion top, you know, that sort of thing that we had done for her first state pageant. She was not going to wear that for nationals, but Shandy didn't want to wear her dress. So we just changed things up a little bit, layered the two colors, changed it to satin. So it really came from, and the idea started with a different dress, and then we just made changes.
Would you say that that's your all-time favorite design, or do you actually have another favorite?
At this point, I'm so tired of that dress.
You know what? I have to agree with you. It's a beautiful dress, and it was great on her, but I'm tired of seeing it, too.
Mm-hmm. So, my favorite varies. It changes from season to season, day to day. So I think I don't know if I'm fickle or if as new things come along, I just get more excited about that. But
Well, I think that's part of the creative process of being a designer, isn't it? That you're excited about the next big thing or the next great idea or the next inspiration?
Maybe so. I prefer that description to fickle.
Well, I am a pageant interview coach, so you can use that at any time, Sherry.
Okay, thank you.
I have one question, quick question before we go to break. How do you think contestants end up on TV in those gowns that were going, oh my God, what was she thinking? How did they end up in those gowns?
I have no idea, but sometimes I think the same thing. I think if of all the things she could have chosen, why was that it? You know, your one moment, your one shot.
Yeah, you're thinking the girl is beautiful, her body is perfect, and where did she get that gown? Obviously not your gowns, but some of them, I'm just wondering what happened. Any insight on that?
I don't know. I'm sure I've had those moments that I'm not really sure because I don't know how it happened. You think, is there not a mirror? But, you know.
Do you think they're just trying to break the mold in such a radical way that it really just looks off?
Maybe so, and maybe it just comes down to personal taste. You know, and I try not to dictate when I'm working with girls. They'll say, oh, but what do you think I should wear? I try not to be very forceful in that because it is just my opinion. And at the end of the day, every girl going to, say, a national pageant, there are usually 51 contestants. That's their one moment in time to do that. So I don't want them, I want them to be the girl that they want to be, not the girl that I think they should be. So I try to step back and maybe give input and advice, but not be too forceful because it is her party and it's her one shot. So she needs to look the way she wants to look. So maybe in those cases, the girls just have something in their head that, or a dream that they've had for a long time. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is a challenge to offer advice, but not overwhelm the girl's own personal choice. Well, Sherry, it's been fascinating so far, but it's time to take a short break. Everyone stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more Pageant Talk Radio with Sherry Hill.